Good afternoon and welcome to today's coffee break, everyone. Nice to have you here. I see Peter Lewis is there in the top left, and Solbu is getting his coffee ready in the bottom left. Peter has asked me to just mention that he has gone through throat cancer, so he has a device that helps him to be able to speak, but we may have trouble understanding him today. So we'll if Peter is willing to forgive me for my inability to understand, then we'll certainly forgive your inability to make sense. How's that?
Okay.
Hi, Ron. Ron is joining us now as well. And how's everybody doing today?
I'm doing well.
Glad to hear it. Anything new in the world? That's not negative. Not negative. I should clarify that. These days you have to clarify that. What's new? Oh, let me tell you. I'm out of
only happy
paper.
Things.
Yes, only happy things. Yeah. I was saying, Ron, I'm here in my staff lunchroom, so just getting a quick break for lunch. So I get a half hour, so that's all we get.
Ah.
But fresh coffee's on, so I'm ready for my coffee break.
Oh, that's right. I don't like coffee in the other room.
Oh, no. How can you have a coffee break without a coffee?
Yes, I'll be right back.
I'm on with Robbie. You realize that Mike's way over.
Hello, Robin.
Hello.
I
hear you back there.
Yeah, you realize it.
Oh, well, I hope everybody's doing well. Things are pretty good on my end. Things are coming together. Peter was asking me there just before we started our coffee break how the studio stuff is going. And without getting into too many details here, because, of course, I'm doing the vlog and everything else on Kickstarter, but we do have a space secured. I've got a 2-year lease signed and paid for, and I've got insurance in place. So everything's pretty much come together. So we're just waiting for good word that the painters have finished their work, because that's the one thing that could hold us up. And our move date is Saturday. And so far, we've got a truck. The truck is apparently available for us.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So it all seems to be coming together. I've been putting a push, just not to talk too much about our Kickstarter campaign, but hey, if you want to go to cat5.tv/kick, that's the only ad I'm going to place in here. but I should mention, I've been putting a little bit of an emphasis on some of the corporate sponsorship stuff. So there's some pretty neat stuff, like naming rights.
I noticed that.
Yeah, I've added things like naming rights so that somebody, you know, can have their company name the studio. So that whenever we refer to it, it's their company name or whatever it happens to be. Or it could be a good, like, in memoriam or something like that. So, hi, BP9.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good afternoon. Where's your coffee, my friend?
Oh, bother.
Same as me. I sat down without my coffee. Now I got it, though.
See, Solbu and I've got this all figured out because we've got our kitchens right behind us.
I messed up because I just got back. Don't tell them at work, but I just got back from a grocery run.
Oh, dear. Okay. Did you wash your hands then?
I did. Yes, sir. I sure did.
Good man.
Yeah. I needed to get groceries, but I'm all stocked up with Australian food anyway, which is great. Yeah.
So you got the Marmite and the shrimp?
I did. I got, well, Vegemite. I don't know about this Marmite stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I got the Vegemite, though. Yep. Love Vegemite. I know. I'm all stocked up for the next 2 weeks. And looks like I'm working from home for an additional week. So just as well.
Yeah.
So, I think I'm stocked up good. For the next month at least. With a few things that I can create and cook.
Yeah,
I
could probably do that if I really went big and deep in the pantry, but As long as the supermarket's stocked with the stuff that I like, then I'll eat that. But if I have to, I'll get into the stuff that I don't like so much. That's been the dry stuff, like the dry pasta and all that, that'll last forever. So.
Yeah. I see Peter's puppy there. Yesterday was my puppy's turn to do a cameo.
Yeah, okay.
My sweetie. Cat will probably show up at some point.
Yeah.
Probably don't bloody barking.
Are you guys able to, are you able to work from home? Like, are you remoting into like a work?
Absolutely. I'm remoted in right now. Yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. Yeah. Such a cool, time for technology to really be put to the test, because being able to do even things like this, remotely doing Zoom meetings and stuff, it's pretty
well,
cool.
Well, it's amazing that you can just literally VPN into work, your machine becomes part of their network, and it's just like you were working from your desk.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, I have customers who have multiple monitors on their desk at work. And so we've had them set up multiple monitors, much like you have there, Ron. So multiple monitors on their desk at home. And then we've set up remote connections for each monitor. So when they're sitting at home, they actually can span all three monitors on their desk, even though like it's a remote connection. It's amazing.
I have two monitors, but I have one on each computer. So I have three computers here. One is just a server. So,
cool. Hi, Bo.
Yeah.
I think he's there. He can see us. He's looking at. Ah, there, he's got motion.
Hello.
Hi, Bo.
In
how
that
are
case,
you, man?
I'll give him a wave. Hello.
Yes. You'll see us all waving in the recording.
Well, I don't know whether it's my video, my connection or what, but you've gone still, Robbie.
Have I?
You're good, Robbie.
Okay.
Okay, so it must be my end. It must be just me. But you can hear me okay?
I can hear you okay, yeah. But I have noticed that.
Oh, there you go.
A little bit.
Yeah, we're back. Yep.
I think what's interesting, we're all starting to see this where, okay, so we're all kind of placed all around the world. But there's such a demand on the infrastructure for things like Zoom and all these kind of remote meeting and telepresence applications. So not only are the platforms being really taxed, like Zoom, but also the actual infrastructure of the internet, because everybody's worked from home. So we're just saying, like, you're remoted into your desktop computer at work. Well, where's that bandwidth coming from? So all of a sudden a staff of 50 people all working from home, and that's 50 times the bandwidth that they used to use.
Yep.
In our country,
we're bound to see some choppiness.
It's a little in Norway, the situation is a little easier because a few days after everyone started to remote in, there is Pierce said that in an interview that the daytime traffic is now as high as the normal evening traffic is, so they are handling it just fine.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
We had a few mishaps when we first started to work from home. Just the VPN connections were spotty, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But a day or two, the network folks at work figured it out, and it's been pretty smooth since then.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's forcing us all to reevaluate our our infrastructure.
Yep.
Oh, how is everything going at Ameridroid?
We're down to low staff. Michael's working from home. Daniel's here just for a few hours in the morning, and I try to be here all day. The shippers come in. But our order volume is pretty low right now, probably because of the lull in product availability because of COVID.
Yeah.
So we don't have any new exciting products to ship at the moment. You know, if we had OGAs, Odrigo Advances, we'd be, shipping like gangbusters right now. But also the H2s are out of stock. And let's see what else. Yeah, there's just a few things that are that are missing from the shelves. So
yeah. Well, I had ordered a compute module for the cluster board, the Pine 64 cluster board. And I encourage other, you know, like I just encourage people, like look at companies like Ameridroid that we all love and like, just go on their site, support them. It's got to be tough. Like I'm in a services industry, so it's a little bit different because we're still really busy. And in fact, I'm doing a lot of remote support. So, but for companies that are selling stuff, like I'd encourage you, like go to Ameridroid.com. Sorry to make this into an ad for you, Bo, but seriously, we gotta support companies like that because when this is all done, because this is all gonna end, and we're all gonna look back on this and just remember it as a terrible memory. We want those companies to still be around. So show them some.
There's a saying that goes around that might be fitting now. Whatever doesn't kill us will make us stronger.
Yeah. Yes, hopefully. Bill, now, nice Bo, to see you.
Hey, hang on. Hello, all.
Hello, Bill. Bo, I have a question for
almost
you.
Almost sleeping today, I say.
Sure, go ahead.
That phone that you showed off a couple of days ago when you were last on, is that one of the Odroid phones?
Oh, you're talking about this phone right here?
Yeah, is that a regular Android phone?
This is a Pine phone.
Ooh, so tell me more.
Yeah, apparently, did I not charge it? I don't know. I might not have charged it. So I may not be able to tell you a whole lot. Let's see.
But is it a GSM phone or is it a CDMA phone?
I believe it's GSM.
Okay. And it works on all the GSM frequencies. So if I were to take it to Australia, would it work?
It works on most frequencies. I've got Manjaro Linux booting on it right now.
That's nuts. I love it.
So, a really cool thing about the Pine phone is that it is completely modular. Well, you know, as much as most phones can be. It's got a removable battery.
Oh, yes.
That's a standard Samsung. That's a standard Samsung J7 battery, so you can get them really easily, even though this one's branded Pine 64. Nice. It's just a standard battery. This is the module that does the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and...
Oh, no. What timing? Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and what?
I'm glad it wasn't just me.
You dropped out there, Bo. You said this is the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and...
GSM. So that's a Quectel module. So this actually runs a stripped-down version of Linux on it. So that's the only closed part of the entire phone is that module right there.
Is it just me, or is this like Mark Shuttleworth's dream coming to light in a lot of ways?
Let's see if I can get close enough here.
Canonical really wanted to do the Ubuntu phone, right? And this is a Linux phone, folks.
So you can, I don't know if you can see it, but these are DIP switches right here.
Nice.
Those are hardware disable switches for different things. This little white label next to it tells you what they are. It's modem, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, microphone, rear camera, front camera, and headphone. That's what you can turn off by hardware.
Do you sell those at Ameridroid?
We will be as soon as they're available. And this right here is our Pogo pins. Mm-hmm. So these are I2C interface to the phone.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
So people can make a, you know, like keyboard cases or extended batteries or anything that does I2C
expansion. Nice. Yeah.
And this is like, how much is a Pine phone? Remind me, Bo.
It'll be less than $200.
Wow. Yeah.
And so here's Manjaro running.
So it's running Android. It's running Linux.
It's running Linux. Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to do this backwards. Oh, yes. So anyway, I'm not sure exactly what I'm doing because I can't see it.
Good ad,
great review, Bo.
Good ad, but you sold me. I'll take one. You sold me.
I want one even more now. That iceberg C on the back is really turning me on.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right now, Ubuntu Touch is probably the most production ready. It's not production ready yet, but it's getting there.
Mm-hmm. Those dip switches, is there any hardware on the phone that you cannot turn off except for remove the battery? I imagine someone would want to know that.
You pretty much can turn off everything, that anything that matters, I guess. you can't turn off the screen, physically. Mm-hmm. You can push the soft switch on the side, the little, like every other phone has, mm-hmm. turn the screen off. So there's the Manjaro lock screen.
So made a lot of progress.
There must be an app then that is running that just manages the phone portion. Because for me, it has to be able to make and receive phone calls mm-hmm. and keep track of my calendar and keep track of my contacts. That's
right.
That's all I need.
There's a Linux program called Ofono, and that's what I think most of them are using to manage like the AT commands into the modem. But yeah, so texting, data, phone calls. Phone calls are harder than you'd think. They're getting there. They've got call quality issues, and like when you have it on speakerphone that you don't get the reverb, and all kinds of little issues like that. Just dealing with all the different Linux drivers.
To be fair, too, it is just development right now, right? So it's not like a public release yet. So what you're holding there is like a dev unit.
Right. This is called the Braveheart Edition. In other words, you better be brave. So this actually has a 16 gigabyte eMMC in it on the board. It's not removable like on the Pinebook Pro or on a Rock Pro 64. Because of space constraints. But a really cool thing about it is that if you stick in a micro SD with an OS boot partition on it, it'll boot from the micro SD first.
Wow.
So let's say your eMMC dies, you can still boot the phone from micro SD. Or if you want to just try a different OS out, after you have an OS on your eMMC, you can just boot it on the micro SD, try it out. If you like it, you can just DD it over to the EMMC.
I love that. I'm loving that about the Pinebook Pro too. But to think you can multi-boot your phone.
Watching a few of Louis Rossmann's right to repair videos, where he is explaining to senators and public officials why it's important. He sometimes mentions lack of diagrams and schematics. Are there anything like that coming with the phone, or can one download if one wanted the schematics in order to make
it's fully open source, isn't it?
Right, schematics are available, plus all of the components are I should have left it open, but all of the components are replaceable on the phone. So let's say you crack your screen. I think it's like 10 screws, standard Phillips screws, and $20, and you have a new screen on.
This is the future, my friends.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please.
Well, this is the good future. I'm not sure if it's going to be the realistic future, though.
Not the current future that we are experiencing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I think the most incredible thing about this whole thing is that you're running Linux, not Android, on this thing.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, is that actually true?
Yes, it's a full ARM version of Linux.
Wow.
So we've had people that have actually compiled a full desktop Linux, not using a touch interface, on the phone. And so, I think it's a 840 by 480 screen, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. So it's not super high res, but you can't really tell when you look at it. I mean, it looks the quality of you know, the pixels are small and you can't really see them, you know, even up close.
Right.
I've always wondered what, why on earth people would want 4K screens on their phone.
Right.
Yeah, it does not make sense to me either. What's the size of the screen, Bo? Can you tell me?
It's about a 6-inch.
Six-inch
screen. So here is my Samsung 10, Galaxy 10. And here's the PinePhone. So
okay.
Size comparison, they're about the same.
I'm using my trusty wooden ruler to compare to look at the screen on my poker phone, and it's about 6 inches as well. So it's going to be about the same size.
Yeah. So it's
6-inch diagonal,
The thickness and everything is almost identical to a Samsung Galaxy 10.
Oh, nice.
How's the battery life on those phones?
Well, that's all up to optimization of the operating system, because most operating system, Linux operating systems, don't really go into low power mode when you stop using it for a minute. The PinePhone, I think on Ubuntu Touch right now, they have 10-hour battery life on it with the modem turned on and light use. So they're working on extending that by clocking down cores and shutting off cores when the phone's not being used and things like that.
I would imagine the screen and the modem would be, or the radio would be the thing that sucks most power, right?
Yeah, I think it's mainly the radio and then also the CPU if it's not properly optimized.
Right. Okay. I want one.
Yeah, me too.
Sorry,
they seem to have that pretty well licked now with the PineBook Pro, how it, like when you idle, it turns down the throttling on the CPU so that it only uses like 600 megahertz.
But have you seen the battery in the PineBook Pro? It's humongous, Robbie. Even if they don't throttle it down, it's still huge.
It's unreal.
Same is true of the poker phone. It's mostly battery.
Yeah. 10,000 milliamp hour in the PinePhone.
Yeah.
This one is, I think, 2,800 or 3,000. I can't remember.
Wow.
So here's a discussion question for you guys. With full Linux running on a phone, what would you do with your Linux phone that you can't do with your Android phone?
Install the GIMP.
SSH.
I agree. I would put SSH on the I would use SSH for sure.
Yeah, I do have an SSH app on my Android phone, but it is available. But to have that natively, like in a terminal,
But I would really
on a phone, when I make a connection the first time, I would configure it so that it only can connect via SSH using keys, so that the password over SSH is not working.
I already do that. I already do that anyway. I have public private key, and they have to match, or otherwise the SSH won't connect. Doesn't use password. To do that for a phone, I'd have to have an external keyboard. Whether I use the I2C or whether I use a Bluetooth keyboard.
Bluetooth, yeah.
I already have a foldaway keyboard. Think out of the box foldaway keyboard, and it plugs. It being a Bluetooth keyboard, it works directly with most phones. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see if it worked with Linux.
Bo, right. if we could find a way, Bo, to get Bill over there a PinePhone, then I could port NEMS Linux to PinePhone. Because he's my beta tester.
You're in short demand right now, or short supply right now.
Oh, we've lost Bo again. You're back.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's the only one I've got right now is this one. They're
Please
in high demand. Yeah, high demand and short supply.
Yeah.
But
are you using that as a daily driver, Bo?
No, not yet. Okay. It's not quite there yet. It's getting closer, but probably the most polished one. I mean, the one that looks most like a phone that you'd expect to pick up from a carrier. Is Lune OS, L-U-N-E OS.
Mm-hmm.
It's very slick. The interface, the whole experience is very slick, but it's also very incomplete right now. You can't make calls on it or anything like that. the Ubuntu Touch, I think, is probably going to be the one that's going to get released with it. A really cool thing about it is that Pine is going to donate $10 from each phone that they sell to whichever OS they're shipping it with at the time.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
So Ubuntu Touch, you know, let's say they sell 1,000 phones during the time that they have, you know, during a month, let's say, and Ubuntu Touch is the, or UV ports is the one that's on there right then, they'll send $10,000 to UV ports for development purposes.
Nice.
And, so the few things that you can do with it that's pretty cool. I don't know if you've ever used MOBA Xterm on Windows, where you can actually run Windows app or X11 apps on your desktop, on your computer desktop. So you can basically do that with the Pine phone.
I don't do Windows here at the house. Yeah. I only do Linux at the house. So
you can do it with Linux too. I mean, Linux is easy, right? You just export the display, right?
Right.
And so basically you can run the phone off of your desktop computer. So while you have it charging on your desk, you could still be using it as a phone. But yeah, you could run a web server.
Sounds to me like you've got a customer right over there in the yellow shirt.
Absolutely. Yep, that's me. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, I have a few other fans.
Yep.
Yeah, you could run a web server on it.
That's cool. That's too cool.
Yeah. You can use it for, if your carrier doesn't support tethering, too bad.
I figured out how to get around that anyway with Android, so it's all good.
Yeah.
That reminds me of running a web server on things. That reminds me of a YouTube video I saw maybe 2 years ago. There was someone who installed Minix 1, I think, on a 286. And he had a telnet server and a web server. And he placed static HTML files and a WAV file. And started playing the WAV file on the web server and putting sound out. And then he loaded just the index HTML file, no graphics, no nothing, just text. And the playback of the WAV file just crawled to a halt. Just one client loading one HTML file.
But that's the beauty of running a full Linux over Android, right? With Linux, you have all kinds of flexibility in terms of what you can do and what you can run.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and most of this is because Richard Stallman was fed up with a printer driver. That started this whole thing. And then later, Linus Torvalds completed the system with the Linux with the kernel.
All right. Yeah, you can also run.
And look how far we come.
I'm dreaming now of running Bash scripts on my phone.
Yeah.
How cool is that? Well, folks, it's time for us to wrap up our coffee break. It's been a good one this time around. I guess this is what, our fifth one. I didn't even mention the date. It's the what is today? The 25th? Am I right?
Correct.
March 25th. So we're making it through our quarantine.
This talk, this coffee break is the closest thing we came to a normal catfight episode where we discussed the phone.
By the end of this, it's just going to be welcome to Category 5.
We're all lucky and it's Wednesday. Tech. That's what it is.
we're missing the talk of tech.
Yeah,
well, thanks for being here, everybody. Make sure you check out our Kickstarter, cat5.tv/kick. There are some really cool perks there, and I appreciate every one of you who has already supported us in that. Getting a little nervous because move day is just a couple days away. We'll see how everything shapes up, but I think everything's going to go very well, and I trust that everything's going to come together. So thank you, everybody. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Robbie.
Nice to see you, Robbie.
Bye. See everybody. Bye.